You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Now plug yourself in the ass. It's the time for another Go Plug Yourself podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to our... This is going to be our first ever, because of how we put them into order, even though we recorded another one. This is our first ever mini-sode of Fringe, welcoming as a guest co-host our senior Fringe correspondent, female Walter, a.k.a. Sarah. Say hi, Sarah.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us at this time, we have Aaron and Bree coming all the way from the big city of Canada, Toronto, promoting their show, Water Wings. How are you guys doing?
So good. I'm so excited to be here.
You just got in yesterday?
I got in on Wednesday, okay. But yeah, I just wandered around the city wide-eyed like a weirdo, so I feel like this is my second real day.
I got in yesterday at 2 in the morning.
So like this morning, like Friday morning,
yes.
At 2 in the morning?
So okay. Today technically at 2 in the morning, yeah.
That's amazing that you're even around.
Conscious.
Functioning. When's your first show?
Our first show was at 6 p.m. this evening.
Okay,
this evening, yes.
You guys driving?
I don't know what we're going to do. we might take a cab. We found a place where we can park and pay to park, because I parked just at, I didn't know, at 2 in the morning, you're just like, where,
park.
I don't know, exactly. And I woke up to a $40 parking ticket, so it's just like, whatever, let's just go to
there's,
a meter.
Yeah, there's a whole, like, there's an extra sense, like you have your five senses, and there's a sixth one, which is interpreting parking signs in Montreal.
Yes. See, it's very easy in Toronto, it's just a giant green P, that's where you go, that's where you pay, and then you don't complain about the fact that you leave the parking place in debt,
Montreal, it's like park between this and this, but if you have a pass, it's between this time and this time, and then if you don't, and then there's also this post with an arrow pointing backwards, and you're like, well, I love when there's like three or four signs on top of each other, and you're like, which one of these is applying to me right now?
It'd be just as good to park on somebody's lawn, I think.
If there's not many people,
probably
have lawns.
The same fine.
Right. Probably get the same.
Well, then it's not that bad.
I had the best experience. Best parking experience of my life in Toronto, where I parked badly and got a ticket and then tried to pay the ticket online and my number wouldn't register.
Nice.
And then I called up the 511 or whatever, like the municipal services, and apparently there was like a backlog. So they just canceled all the tickets to out-of-province plates.
Yep.
And I was like, hooray! And since I had a Quebec plate, they just like, to alleviate the load on their system, they were like, out-of-province? Cancelled. And I was like, yay, free parking.
I'm sort of hoping, I'm driving a rental car, so I'm hoping that they have no way of tracing the ticket back to who I am. But now that I'm announcing it on broadcast.
It's fine. Don't say your last name. if they want to go through all the trouble to find out which show you were in and all that stuff, they deserve to take
it
to you at that
That's
point.
A good point. It's just $40, so yeah, if you do that much research.
The city of Montreal does like Batman-esque like detective work to try to like get to that $40. You'd be like, well done, city of Montreal.
Yeah, your civil servants deserve that then, if that's the case.
So... You look like you were about to say something. You gotta get more aggressive.
No, I don't know. I was just gonna ask you guys, like, so how is your show gonna educate me to understand the Kardashians? Because I don't think anyone does.
I feel like if anything, it's more of a distraction from the Kardashian-centric lifestyle. I will fully admit to hate watching that show once in a while. Yeah, sorry, not that
I
cool.
I admit it too.
Sarah's a big fan of hate watching. Just a lot of shows. She watches.
I want to be above it, but I'm just not.
Sarah does the Real Housewives.
Anything.
The Real Housewives of anywhere.
I really feel like they should have a big battle. Like, it should be like, you know, like Road Wars and stuff? Like, all those, like, MTV shows, they'd be like, the best of, like, why has that not been a thing?
The Real Housewives being like, who throws the better cocktail party? The other Real Housewives try to, like...
Or cat fight.
Yeah.
Who has the best cat fight?
Yes, exactly. And there could be a competition. They could have a fancy cocktail party that throw cocktails at each other's faces.
That happens.
Yeah. I'd watch that.
Yeah. And have it, like, as an off. Like, it's like, the cocktail face throw off. It'd be amazing. I'm just
Were
sick.
You as weirded out as I was that of all the Canadian cities, they chose Vancouver for the
Canadian?
And I was like but over Montreal and Toronto. I was like, I'm pretty sure we have catty bitches
it's
in
okay.
both
they're
of these
the
cities.
Worst. They're the worst people on the planet, so it's good that we're not like that.
No, there are
Fuck
definitely
Vancouver.
Groups of women that...
Pretty sure you get huge tax breaks for filming anything in Vancouver.
Maybe.
So that's probably
like the X-Files.
Yeah. Yes. Until they moved it to LA.
Yeah. That was like because like David Duchovny didn't want to travel anymore.
Yeah, he wanted to be with his beautiful wife, Taya Leone, and that didn't last.
Oh, this took a turn for the sand.
So, yeah. Let's talk about Real Housewives.
She could be one, probably.
Yeah, Taylor.
She could probably. She hasn't been doing much in terms of actual showbiz. So.
Or Duchovny. I'd watch Duchovny in any kind of Real House.
Yeah. It's like Real Housewives and David Duchovny. He's just like the only dude there.
Oh,
like,
man.
Hey, guys.
If anybody could pull it off, it's David Duchovny.
Well, he was in the Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah,
he was in, like, which is like it's kind of like baby blue porn-esque.
Softcore porn.
And then he's in a show now where he plays a porn star. It's the evolution. That's the next step.
I heard he had the biggest penis in Hollywood.
No, I heard that was
what's his name? The one that they couldn't put his penis on.
Well, first of all, there's that. There's Willem Dafoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you know the film Antichrist.
No, it's Antichristo.
It's written Antichristo, but he pronounces it Antichrist.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like by some crazy art director.
Huh.
And it's like full of like, it's just over the top crazy symbolism. And at one point, Willem Dafoe is naked in the film.
Yeah.
And apparently has such a big cock that the director changed, like put a stunt cock in for a smaller cock because he didn't want the symbolism to be misconstrued that the reason that these things were happening to him was because he had a big cock. Like, he was like, no, that's not part of the symbolism. So, like, your cock is too big. People might interpret that wrongly.
Apparently, they had to Photoshop Brandon Routh's giant cock from the Superman poster from the last Superman that came out.
Because it was just like in the tights, and it was just like a bulge. I don't know. You think it'd be good for sales?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's the other one.
Yeah. Really? I heard it was, what's that, big Michael Fassbender? Yes. Fassbender, is that his name? Apparently. Anyway. Whatever.
This is what it's like sitting with three girls. Yes. We're just talking about how big cocks are.
Real Housewives turn into penises.
That's very quickly, yeah.
It was just like instant gap. Yeah. This is all it is, apparently. Real Housewives and cock talk.
Yeah.
I feel like
such is life, right?
I'm comfortable with my masculinity.
Yeah. I'm just going to say also, I feel like the four of us should start a show called Real Housewives and Cock Talk. Just saying, it could win over everyone.
Exactly. We'll
have a new podcast
on the 9 to 5
network. There we go. There we go, guys.
Housewives and Cock Talk.
Yes. Fringe.
I can imagine the poster already.
We can't put it anywhere other than the inside.
It's fine. Fringe. Anything goes. It's okay.
It's art.
Yeah. Do you guys? You said you've been to the Toronto Fringe before.
Yes.
So is it? I'm only really familiar with the Montreal Fringe.
Yeah.
So I like when I hear that other fringes are like less risque and out there, I'm always like, what? But Fringe is supposed to be about transvestites dancing. Like, what it is. So it's like you have like a bit of a shock. Like, I mean, you got to see a bit of the. Well, you saw the out of town Fringe for all, so you didn't get to see some of the local craziness yet.
The thing is, it's just, like, I just find it's a more, like, let's all hang out and, like, watch the, here's a musician playing, and here's a random sort of rave that was happening earlier today, which was really fun and loud, because I'm old. but, yeah, it just seems that there's much more, like, let's all hang out for, like, hours and hours and hours, and Toronto Fringe, like, one of my best friends I met at the Toronto Fringe tent, we met last year, and we're just like, we're best friends forever!
Yeah.
Like, that happens, but it just feels like everyone was like, hey! As soon as I walked in, I'm like, am I sick? Did my mom call? That's because they all ate the brownies. Don't ruin my illusion!
I'm sorry. Everyone in Montreal is super friendly. That's the thing you hear all the time.
Yeah.
We're just known
especially
for
downtown.
Yeah. No, in the plateau, there's a weird friendly off-putting at the same time. Plateau. This is like the trendy area. I don't know if you're familiar with Montreal, but this is where the trendy people live, is this area.
Yeah. So. Well, I went flyering yesterday and postering, and I went into this really like nice coffee shop, and there was people dressed like, there was a guy in a vest with like a badge, and I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. I was like, he had like really cool glasses and like an amazing like asymmetrical haircut.
Was he a security guard? He's a vest and a badge.
Listen, he was a cool hipster version of that. He worked at a coffee shop, and I walked in. And I just started talking
cool
to people.
security.
Yeah. That's Montreal.
By bed, she means name tag.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Exactly.
But yeah, I came in, I started talking, and he was like, oh, hey, tell me all about your show. I'm like, what's happening? Why, you're a hipster, but you're nice. What's going on?
Yeah, there's like a weird thing that happens with like Montreal hipsters is they're so, I'm just saying Montreal hipsters, like I just like Montreal in general, like they're so obsessed with being aware of the next big thing that they're like almost inadvertently open to everything. So it's like instead of being like that normal closed-minded like no we're not into this, but you're like maybe your thing is new and maybe I can be the first to like it. So there's, you know, it's like there's like this weird like in like a closed-mindedness to or like that turns into open-mindedness. So like if they've heard of it then it's not cool. But if they haven't heard of it, like, maybe it is. So there's, like, you'll
and
they see.
They didn't hear you, so they're
exactly.
Like,
there we go. Hey, yes, oh, here shit. We go. Yes.
So tell us.
Tell us about your show. So if you would, tell us what you told the vest badge guy. Like, how did you sell him on the show?
Yes, our security guard.
Well, it is a really fun, high-energy, smart sketch show that we're doing.
Okay.
It's basically the concept is it's called Water Wings because, at least in our experience, I thought by this age, I'm 32, I would be like, I really know my stuff. I'd be, you know, I'd know what I was doing. I'd be settled, all that kind of stuff. And I'm still trying to figure stuff out. So I feel like it's like when I was a kid and had water wings that kind of kept me afloat, but not quite. They were always precarious. Yeah. And that's what I
feel
like.
In their own way, it made swimming more awkward.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
they're the training wheels of the sea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I think that's both of our experience and probably maybe even a zeitgeist of our generation is that we're all educated 20, 30-something-year-olds who are, you know, have been told what it is that we need to do, you know, get a job, whatever. And then I personally, my experience is I tried that. I went to university. I started working for the public service and just realized it was not for me. And
then I realized I hated the public.
So naturally, I became a performer. No, a public service in terms of working for the government. Yes, and then moved to Toronto to become a comedian, and then went back to having to ask my parents for money and that kind of stuff. You know, like so. I think there's this huge group of us who are highly educated and. Skilled, but we're working bum jobs, and we're trying to figure stuff out creatively, and
I think that's something. I mean, especially if you read like all the like economic papers and all that stuff, it's like it's a big big deal. Is like, and I mean, like even just everybody sort of like you have to have your day job to pay for your passion,
exactly.
Like, which is everybody's in that situation. Whereas, like it seemed to be in like previous generations, your passion could be your day job.
Exactly.
And you're like, not anymore.
No,
you know,
it's especially,
like,
yeah.
I heard this like this weird, really weird factoid that's sort of related to that. If you know Gem and the Holograms, the show from the 80s.
Oh right? My God, we're best friends right now. That happened just now.
The guy who wrote the theme song literally got enough money for life.
That's right, yeah. That's
but, like, amazing. He just, like wrote a theme song for an 80s cartoon show, and that wasn't, like, not to be super rich, but, like, had enough money for life. And now it's just sort of, like, if you write a theme song, you're like, here's a check for X thousand dollars, write another one now.
Right now.
You know,
or you'll be able to pay rent next month.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. But it was just, like, I'm like, he wrote a jingle, and he was just probably, like, a musician or whatever, and then he got to do whatever he wanted for the rest of his life, because he was on TV. And they're like, now it's, like, you could be on TV, you could be on the radio, you could be on whatever, and you're, like, you're making less than if you would work in a call center.
That was like, you know, was, like that was the premise of About a Boy as well, wasn't it? That his like his father had written or he had or something, and he was just living off the royalties. And people were like, "How are you living like this giant man child?"
Yeah.
And that's I guess
he wrote a jingle once.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, I want to be that giant man child.
Right? We all want to be the man child. But anyway, so yeah.
Again, I'm just gonna put it out there. I'm the only guy in the room. Everyone wants to be a man child. I don't understand.
Also, the Kardashians and Cox.
I'm really glad there's a podcast, so it's not like if you're just tuning in now. Cox.
I think that taking on that subject, we rewrote a bunch of sketches. Some of them are very silly, and some of them are more, I don't know, down to earth. But
Is it all comedy, or every now and then are you like? cruel world and like a completely dramatic like 3 minutes in the middle of the show. You're like, what the fuck was that?
It's all sketch comedy. Yeah.
Okay, but it is all sketch comedy. No, I'm just saying, because like you go to an improv show and sometimes you'll get those 5 minutes of like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Like, just gauging the exactly, just gauging the tempo of the show.
Yeah, no, we were looking for ways to showcase our writing and our character work, I think, and then this is what, because we're both stand-up comics.
Okay.
We've both done a bunch of improv, and we love sketch comedy, so this was a great opportunity for us to work together. And bring something. But I don't know, it's hard to find, you know, that kind of partner that sort of has a similar sensibility to you when you're writing and stuff. So it's good when you can.
So do you guys is everything collaborative, or sometimes like you'll write and she'll feedback? And
for the most part of this show was collaborative.
Yeah, it's almost all done together.
Okay,
but
so
we
like...
have yeah, there have like the Rick Moranis song you weren't in the room for, but. There's a song about Rick Moranis.
Spoilers. Yes. Rick Moranis song.
Yeah.
Hashtag Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's, I think it's a good platform for me to announce to the world that it is my goal now. I've created my goal in life to meet Rick Moranis. And this song is just a way of
are we going to have a YouTube video afterwards?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We fully are.
Exactly. Like, make a, like, dude, you should do, like, a My Date with Drew thing.
Yes.
Like, just,
yes.
Just make a documentary. Get a grant from Canada to be like, meet Rick Moranis. The film board will just be like, we just send him to your house. Documentary.
That'd be
over.
Amazing. Yeah. Take a photo and post it on the internet.
So sketch comedy. Are you guys having any guests, or is it just you two?
It's just the two of us.
Same show every night? No surprises, or?
Well, you'll be surprised how hilarious it is.
Smooth!
we wanted to basically just play with the stuff that we'd written.
Okay.
We're really excited about doing that. And this is also our first Fringe ever.
So you don't want to go too crazy. So you're
we really want to just, like, have fun with this stuff. And then as we meet people, like, who knows what will happen in the future.
Yeah.
We've met so many great people already. We're so, so excited.
But also, not to say that we're not excited about people. Mm-hmm. Just going back to because
Greece
we both have
public.
Yeah. Let's go back to that. I don't like the public. Yes. No, that's not true. I do. And I want the public to come to our show. Now that has been stated, the fact that the two of us have done quite a bit of improv is that we've got what we've written, but there's also, if something in the audience sparks us, then we could go off on an improvised tangent at some point or something. You know, there's room to play around with the audience.
You guys have the improv background.
Exactly.
And that's something that has happened. The scenes have evolved as we've done stuff in front of audiences.
So this show, you guys.
Oh.
I was going to ask you.
I was like, audiences. This is, I've been dying to ask you guys this. Who's a better audience, Montreal or Toronto?
She only had a briefest Montreal audience last night, so you have to base your 2 minutes.
Well, we actually did a show here, a different show here in October.
Okay.
We just had a mini tour. Montreal. Unless I'm in Toronto, and then Toronto. both are really different in my experience.
Yeah.
I love both.
I think the thing about Toronto is that it's so hard to get people to come to your show if you're the kind of person who performs often. Then, you know, like when I first started doing comedy, it was like, hey, come to my show. And then, like, everybody I knew in Toronto would show up. But then after you ask them a certain amount of time to come to your comedy show, they're like,
Yeah, we've heard these jokes.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas this is a completely new platform for us, like a Fringe Festival where people are, you know, coming out for the express goal of seeing live theater and live performance and that kind of stuff. So it's so exciting. Yeah, so, I mean, the Toronto Fringe Festival, neither of us have done, so that would have been a more accurate, I guess, comparison. But right now, we did have that show in Montreal. We did it at the Montreal Improv, and it was very well received, so that was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. It was last year,
And it was also really fun because nobody else spoke French that was on the tour except for Brie, so she got to make fun of all of us right to our face.
Mm-hmm.
The audience was just like, yay! We're like, wow, she just got a whole bunch
of
applause.
She's killing it.
No idea.
It was great. She got laughs speaking in English as well, but we're like, people are giggling and kind of looking backstage. That's interesting.
I was revealing their deepest, darkest secrets in French.
Why didn't we go?
We broke open all their diaries. All right, Sarah, you want to close up with your question?
Yeah, my other question is, What shows do you guys want to see at the Fringe this year?
Other
than your own.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great shows at our venue at 4001 Barry.
Okay.
I'm really excited to see The Balding.
Okay.
I'm going to say it wrong. Les Cheries.
Yeah, Les Cheries. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. And Osama the Hero all sound like really, really great shows. I'm also excited, like, Peter and Chris are going to be amazing.
Yeah, I saw Peter and Chris. I think they had a preview of the show that they're doing at the Fringe at the Toronto Sketch Comedy Festival this year. And I saw it, and it was hilarious. So.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was like, if they stopped being hilarious one year, everyone would be like,
no, it was very serious and dramatic and no physicality.
It
was great.
I'm the worst.
And then Shane, who designed our poster.
Shane Adamazic is going to, Zach Adams, going to be super great.
Yeah. He's traveling through time this year.
Yes.
That's good.
Love in the Time of Time Machines, our friends from Toronto.
Yes.
That's an amazing show. I cannot wait to see it here.
There's got to be something else.
Oh, God, there's so many. Sex T-Rex.
Yeah. Oh, Sex T-Rex. They invited us to do, like, a little preview with them, like, basically a week ago, and that was fun.
Yeah.
What?
Zave Ruth, we saw him as well. He also invited us. Anyway,
Zave Ruth has a great show.
So it's basically everybody coming out to Montreal from Toronto. We're like, come on, guys, let's get together before.
Let's make a little insular band.
Yeah.
I want to see. Shows are good.
We won't have to.
Crystal Bartelsi as well has a show. I think it's Significant Me. She's doing this.
Yeah.
Stuff. And then she was a teacher of mine at Humber, so I'd like to see her stuff as well.
So that's it.
Sweet.
That's our time.
All right. Thank you so
much. That was super fun, guys. Awesome. We look forward to checking out your show. We're going to obviously link to the times because it wouldn't make a lot of sense to just rattle off six dates and times and someone's listening like, I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the website. Obviously, we'll link over to your thing, tell everybody how to get tickets.
That's amazing.
And to support Fringe and Water Wings with and Bree.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?